You could call Anya von Bremsen the food and travel writer. She covers the world's poshest, most cutting-edge restaurants for glossy magazines. But this wasn't what she was born to. Anya grew up in Moscow, Soviet Moscow. A little girl who dreamed of food in a time and in a place that was a lot like navigating a hall of funhouse mirrors. Nothing was what it seemed. Anya tells her story and rolls out an epic history of Soviet Russia through its food in her Mastering the Art of Soviet Cooking, a memoir of food and longing. Anya, welcome back.
Great to be here, Lynn.
Well, you grew up in Moscow, and your mother had lived through the years of Stalin when it was an incredibly difficult situation. What was the food like when you were growing up? What are the memories of those things?
A lot of it I remember now is just this kind of kitschy, retro institutional food that's very popular. But, we loved it. For instance, we had the pirozhki, the fried pastries on the street, sold by, this horrible scowling women in white coats. We had this big clunky candies, chocolates with names like Cosmos and Glory to October or Mishka the Clumsy Bear. At holidays times, there were cut crystal balls of salad olivier, the iconic Soviet salad of potatoes, pickles, chicken, all, decorated with mayonnaise ribbons. So now it sort of comes across as very endearing. Of course, when that's all you ate, I was just wildly fantasizing about foreign foods, which I've never tried. For instance, Proust's Madeleine.
Yeah.
I remember my mom read me the passages and I was like, what is this Madeleine? We had no idea.
So in 1974, the two of you came to the United States and you came with nothing, really, basically nothing. And you went to your first supermarket and you talk in the book about a dark truth that you found there.
It was actually, the biggest culture shock, because all our lives we dreamt of abundance. Specifically, we dreamt of America. We imagined, bananas growing on trees. We imagined, a road paved with juicy fruit gum, which in Moscow I black marketeered. All this sort of desired, fantasized about Western foreign goods. And suddenly I enter this huge pathmark in Northeast Philadelphia, super suburban. It was as huge as Red Square. And I see so much food that I feel like I'm buried underneath it. And that was like the crash of my American dream. And everyone was buying it without any fuss. You could get anything you wanted, 20 kinds of salami, sure, peanut butter. My mother was mesmerized by this abundance. But then, she would get Pop-Tarts. Or she would get something horrible like vinegar pickled pig's foot. So she would experiment with all this stuff, and I realized then that, American food must be just absolutely horrifying.
So did it ever redeem itself for you? I mean, you are a food writer, and you're still here.
Slowly, gradually. I think I actually lost my sense of taste in the first few months of exile. Because, we left with two tiny suitcases without the right of return. This was our new home, whether we liked it or not, And food actually represented to me, the sort of pain of immigrant dislocation. I remember the Christmas, with this black Oreo cookies with something synthetic inside. Nothing tasted like I expected it to taste. It took me years, actually, to really, energize myself about food. And also, the American food revolution was happening. So the actual food got much better.
Well, that's true. It's true. Now, what about today? What is it like there now? What is the food like?
The Moscow supermarkets, the glitzier ones, really remind me of like the Depa Chicas in Tokyo, where you have such an incredible array of foodstuffs. And because they can fly anything from Europe, so you have all the Iberico hams from Spain, 12 kinds. You have every farmhouse French cheese, all this like women in Fendi furs talk about the latest burrata, the whole food vocabulary, there's almost no Russian words. Everything, they don't say the Russian word sparja for asparagus. They say asparagus. It's just so ostentatiously consumerist. And there is another wrinkle, Soviet nostalgia. So at GUM department store, the glitzy department store on Red Square, They have a huge Soviet-style supermarket with all those iconic products that we missed when we immigrated. They have this conical juice fountains, Soviet-style ice cream, stewed sauerkraut, all the sort of iconic Soviet foods that, you know, we fled from.
Is this food available to everybody, or is there still that great schism that existed in the Soviet Union between the rich and the poor?
Well, at least there was something equalizing in Soviet times where if you were rich, you were secretly rich. You know, we were a classless society, on paper at least. And now it's much more in your face. But at the same time, anyone can go to a supermarket and afford at least a foreign chocolate. It's just like any other sort of second world economy.
If you could go back and live there, would you?
No, it's a very, at least not in Moscow. My last chapter of the book deals with the kind of deep alienation that I'm wandering around Moscow, a stranger in my own homeland. And it was very ironic because my mom and I were invited to do a TV cooking show in Moscow. So we kind of returned, you know, as semi-media characters. And I recorded the cooking show with ex-Kremlin chef on Stalin's old China, which was very, very unsettling. I don't think I could live there.
Anya, thanks for talking with us.
Great to be here.
Anya von Bremsen has written Mastering the Art of Soviet Cooking, a memoir of food and longing. Now, the one dish you have to do from the book is the great Russian pastry of seafood, rice, and mushrooms, the kulibiaka. Anya's recipe, it's on the website, splendidtable.org.